We have spent way too much time on thoughts, but we're going to spend a little bit more. Let's go to Luke 24. This is Luke and Cleophas on the road to Emmaus. Emmaus was one of the cities that was a Sabbath day's journey. So during the feasts, Emmaus was like the worst place in the world to stay, compared to what they had in Jerusalem. But anyway, so we know Luke was there and Emmaus was there. And this is when they met Christ on the road. The whole thing is about their kind of doubts. Let's start in verse 15. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed, and that's another word for thoughts, or this same word. Excuse me. They communed together and reasoned. Jesus drew himself near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these which you have to one to another, as you walk and are sad?" And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have delivered or redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yes, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when they were early at the sepulchre. When they had found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which had said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And again, it's just slow of heart, slow of imagination, slow of thought, slow of understanding. "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Then said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? Now, there are numerous places in there where he's berating them for not knowing who he was. And this whole idea of communing one to another and discussing, and it's all in this same bailiwick of imaginations and thoughts as opposed to faith. Well, continuing this, we might as well just continue this. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me here, me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you any meat or food? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were spoken in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he saith unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. So again, even when he appeared, they still had thoughts and reasoned, and they didn't recognize him until they broke bread. What would we have done? Would we have been in the same position? The answer is an affirmative yes. So if you're just for the notes sake. In Romans 1:21, it talks about it in in Romans 14:1, and Philippians 2:14, it's called disputings. In 1 Timothy 2:8, it's called doubting. So James, we'll look at James 2, so we can get done with this. My brethren, in verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto you your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have what?
I didn't say anything. I just said just cleared my throat.
And you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place. And say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not partial in yourselves, and you are become judges of your thoughts, or which are evil, which is really what it says. Now we come now to the close of all of these. We've spent 3 days looking at the meaning of imaginations and thoughts and musings and doubting and disputing. And it all is that same word. Your imaginations or your thoughts or your, and they're never good. And so let's look at the one that sort of closes the loop. Let's go to
when we look at that word, and when it says evil thoughts, is that two different words or one word together?
I don't know. Okay. But elsewhere it says your thoughts, which are evil, so I think it's probably just... But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh.
Huh? You say 2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians chapter 10.
Verse
3. Starting verse 3. There? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience, when or once your obedience is fulfilled. So it seems to me that everything we, all our constant thinking about stuff ends up in nothing except hopefully that the vanity of your thinking. But we end up with this scripture: cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the job of a disciple. He doesn't come along and do it. If he did, everybody in the world would be saved, because Christ is in all men. But anything, from my view, anything that does not stand the test of truth, if it changes with time, place, or circumstance, it's not worthy of your spending 1 second considering it. 1 nanosecond. But if we cast down imaginations, every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. Now remember, let's look at this place of the thoughts. Excuse me. Go to Revelation chapter 17. Here is a description of your place of thoughts. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, And I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, just to make sure you understand, in verse 15, go quickly to 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. It's the same chapter, it's just, but we're going to read the rest of it now. So you know, he's saying, come here and I will show thee, sell unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. So now we know where she sits. The waters are the human race, the people with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, what is her fornication? Whenever your mind moves you to use carnal mind to think about solving an issue or a problem, then you're engaging with the great whore. You can't do anything else. So he carried me away in the spirit, verse 3, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. Everything that we think is good is in that golden cup. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, whom I saw her. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration or great astonishment. To see this, you can't help but wonder. And this is what Luther saw. This is the real basis of the Reformation. You remember that quote from Luther? Every thought that goes into your mind, you're pushing one of the thorns into the skull of, or this, the skull of Christ. Every time you have something to do, think you have something to do, you're pounding the nails in his hand. And every time you think you have to go somewhere, you're pounding the nails into his feet. That was Luther's quote in the Heidelberg Disputations. And that's what caused the Reformation, not the 95 or the theses that he wrote in the book. The Heidelberg Disputation is the doctrine that caused the Reformation. And we need a Reformation today for the same reason, so that you can see the source of the thoughts. And by not bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, you're just wasting time.
Amen. Well, it's obvious we need a reformation if you look at society.
Well, I'm not worried about society. I'm worried about the church.
Yeah, the church, man.
So that's enough about thoughts for a while. Is there anybody that doubts it? The only thing that your mind can do, prompted by the Holy Spirit, is to show where you are not honoring him, where it's not faith, and to show you that all the things and activities of your mind can only vanity and vexation of spirit. It's emptiness and chasing wind. Everybody understand? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Amen? Everybody agree? Everybody understand?
Except for one thing.
Hmm?
I still don't like it. When you say this, at the same time you say we've got a job to do. So which is it? Complete faith, rest, abandonment of thoughts, or do we have work to do?
No, all that we're doing, the only work is seeing the completed work of Christ. And the mind is the enemy of that. So the seeing of the completed work of Christ, if you think that's something to do, well then, yeah, it is.
Well, I don't want to see it that way.
Hmm?
I don't want to see it as a job. The word job is...
Well, it doesn't matter what you want to see it as, and it's not debatable. Oh, we're not debating, I promise
it's
you.
It's debating to get to the word that clarifies understanding. So that's, it's just...
You just said amen to everything I said, and now you're...
Give me a second chance.
Okay.
I didn't think I could talk.
Well, we're back to the same thing we always are. Casting down imaginations. It's you that cast down the imaginations. Bringing to every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's you that brings it to every thought, and you do it by repentance.
Address the body through God, part of that sentence.
Right. You release the power of God by repentance. That's why repentance was to be preached in every nation. The last words to the disciples. It's not going to happen by you just hanging around. Because the evil one has raised himself from the deadly head wound. And his job is to convince you that this isn't true. If you agree that the seat of the mind is... what we read in Revelation 17, the horse sitting on the seven mountains of your mind.
Yeah.
And Christ doesn't operate until there's repentance. So the power of God doesn't operate without repentance. That's why repentance must be preached. It's the last thing preached these days. Repentance isn't, oh, I'm sorry I did that. Repentance is death.
I agree with that.
Good. All right. Take it, big guy.